Now, you don't need me to tell you the cost of prescription drugs are outrageous and nauseating. At the same time, how long do you have to go back in time to find when this wasn't the case? Oh, I know promises have been made over and over. Things would change, but they haven't, have they? The only thing outnumbering the promises has been the finger-pointing done. Effort to shift the blame off of one to another and search for a true bipartisan consensus. Our first guest is here with findings of a report which reveals that consensus. We, the people, want what we desperately need for our health and well-being, and we want it to be affordable. This is found in a poll published by the Pharmaceutical Reform Alliance, who also released a report earlier this year, March, as a matter of fact, called The State of U.S. Drug Pricing Unaffordable. He's a former U.S. House of Representatives member representing South Carolina. He's now a spokesperson for the Pharmaceutical Reform Alliance, former Representative Joe Cunningham. How are you today, sir?
I am excellent. I'm excellent. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Well, thanks for addressing what is a much-needed issue that needs a lot more than just addressing, but solutions. Find out more, too, at PharmaReformAlliance.com. And obviously, Joe, we look at this financially, where it's costing people tens of billion dollars a year annually. But and again, according to the report I mentioned that your organization came out with, one out of five people are not filling prescriptions due to cost, and one in seven are cutting pills or skipping doses because of the cost of their prescription medication. So this is a serious impact that it is hitting a lot of people. Why has this been happening? Why is pharma getting the red carpet treatment that creates the situation for so many people?
I mean, Chris, as you mentioned, this has been going on for quite some time, and the shortest answer is greed. It's greed by big pharma, and it's impacting millions of Americans, as you mentioned, especially as the number one concern about voters has become affordability. And prescription drugs and their cost, this is something that, you know, Americans see every single month when they go to get their prescriptions filled. That's, as you mentioned, if they get them filled, because so many are foregoing that strictly because of price. Not to mention the long-term impacts, how more and more people are being forced into bankruptcy because of the high cost of healthcare. And this isn't a problem that other developed nations face like America does on to the extent that we do.
And what adds to the infuriation that comes about from all this is how when pharma executives come before, or you probably saw it firsthand and see it to this day, they try to play the victim in all this, yet they have so much protection or such monopoly, you think it was the mafia back in the 1950s running New York City.
It definitely seems that way. And anytime it's brought up, obviously the big pharma has an army of lobbyists. And yeah, I've been there. I've been there in Congress, and I've seen their lobbyists work. And I've seen the amount that they spend not only just on lobbying but on TV commercials as well. And, you know, they may make the case that, these high prices help them with their research and development. But the facts tell quite a different story. It tells us that Americans are paying high prices and essentially subsidizing the lower costs of people who live in other countries.
And when you look at the results of the study that your organization did, pharma wants to blame politicians. Politicians want to blame pharma. We, the people, are blaming both of them.
Well, and like I said, it comes back to the cost. And while big pharma keeps padding their own pockets and their profits are increasing year after year, it's ordinary Americans who are paying the price.
Looking here, too, 77% of voters say they're more likely to support a candidate for public office who fights against the pharma companies as a campaign issue. I'm looking at the political horizon right now. Quite frankly, either party, I really don't see that happening too much. They're missing out on the cry of the people, literally and figuratively, on this.
I think the candidates who make this a top-tier issue, and affordability is going to be on the ballot, not only in 2026, but 2028 as well. And I do think that the candidates who make some of these policies advocating for reform, like the most favored nation policies, which put the prices of Americans' prescription drugs in line with other countries. And so Americans are infuriated, and it's no surprise that they're placing the blame at the feet of Big Pharma where it deserves to be placed.
And the answer is resting with legislation, and not just at a federal level. It could be done at a state level as well. We'll get into some of the ideas here with Representative Joe Cunningham, former member of the U.S. House for South Carolina, now a spokesperson for the Pharmaceutical Reform Alliance, PharmaReformAlliance.com, their website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And some of the solutions you have is, well, it sounds simple, but obviously it's more difficult than it is about making prescription drug prices more affordable. But if you make it a more competitive platform that they're dealt from, would that be a big step forward in achieving that goal?
I think there are a lot of solutions that could be put on the table. Comprehensive, I've seen in my experience, comprehensive reform can be difficult. It's not impossible. But there are a number of pieces of legislations or policies, and I always refer to them as like rifle shot policies, like a single policy which could be passed and gain bipartisan support. One of those that I mentioned was codifying the most favored nation drug pricing policy into law. That would lower the drug prices for all Americans by matching U.S. prices to lower the prices paid in other wealthy countries. There's also the ideas of patent reform, because as we've seen, Big Pharma will make, will essentially abuse the patent process to make certain adjustments to extend the life of their own patent and box out generic drugs coming to market.
I think we saw that back with the gun laws, and it was vague enough where a gun company could make a minor alteration to an automatic weapon and make it passable under the law. It's not that difficult unless you fine-tooth comb the law, which is, again, that's part of the blame of the legislative side of this issue. How much are pharma companies using the patent rules to their advantage, and to what degree? I mean, It seems like they just want to limit, if not restrict, any kind of competition.
Well, we've seen this with other drugs in the past, how modifications are made to the compound or to the dosage, and what that would do would be to extend the life of the patent and, again, prevent generic drugs from coming onto the market, because their obvious goal is their bottom line. It's not patient-centered. It's profit-centered. And we are literally talking about issues of life and death. As you mentioned, people breaking their pills in half to make it longer, people not filling their prescriptions, it's coming down to the health and safety of Americans. And this should not be a partisan issue. The health of Americans does not discriminate, no matter what party affiliation you subscribe to. So, and as you mentioned, this has gained. I mean, a few issues gain this level of support. I mean, 94% of voters blame pharmaceutical companies for high healthcare costs, as a former candidate and former congressman, if I'm looking at poll numbers like this, this would be an issue that I would talk about incessantly, because it crosses over with Democrats, Republicans, and independents. I mean, 89% of voters support drug pricing reform. That includes 91% of Republicans, 90% of independents, and 88% of Democrats. It's a winning issue.
And certainly, if I'm in a tight race, I'm looking for something to put me up above my opponent. And as you said, with those statistics, this is the red carpet to an election win. But then you have to follow through with what you promise, which, again, we've seen that to be a problem. And this is another great idea, too. A requirement that every dollar that pharma companies spend on drug advertising they have to spend an equal amount on drug rebates for consumers, 88% total support for that idea. That would actually be probably one of the more easier to mandate than all these other ideas, because it's literally point A to point B. There's no middle ground as far as having to negotiate and get a consensus. An idea like that would certainly, if nothing else, give the pharma companies the alert that those in decision-making seats are on to them, and they need to clean up their house as well.
As you mentioned, any legislation, even narrowly tailored to one specific policy, can gain broad bipartisan support. And, you know, I remember I was a member of the Problem Solvers Caucus, which had half Democrats, half Republicans, oftentimes more moderate ones. And this could very well be one of those issues that can gain members on both sides. And as you know, anybody who's paying attention to the House, with a razor-thin margin like that, if you have support on both sides, no matter, you know, how large or small, it has a real high chance of success.
Learn more about this issue. Study the reports, too, because it's important information that I think, first and foremost, you'll find yourself in agreement with, and the ideas presented by the Pharmaceutical Reform Alliance will be ideas that you can support. You can find out how you can give your support and add your voice to their work at PharmaReformAlliance.com. He is a former member of the U.S. House, Representative South Carolina, now a spokesperson for the Pharmaceutical Reform Alliance. Representative Joe Cunningham, thank you for helping us realize there is a path to sanity in all this, and we don't have to make the sacrifice to our health to have fairness in price. We just need a better cooperation from the decision makers in pharma and a lot more force coming from the legislative side. Thank you for bringing us that attention and that focus today, sir.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much, Chris.